This brief text from John's Gospel, chapter 20, leading us to a discussion of a further, more lengthy text in the Old Testament, but to which I will return before we're done here. "Now is the judgment of this world," Jesus says. "Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all to myself." He said this to show by what death he was to die. Well, it occurred to me this week that with both a Sunday away, a snow day, and a baptism since Ash Wednesday, I haven't done my "This is what Lent's all about" sermon. And Lent is almost over. Elizabeth will be here next week, and then the next Sunday is Palm Sunday. And then Easter, so I thought this week, I better get after it. This is Lent, a time of serious reflection, amendment of life, taking stock, maybe even self-examination. I find it interesting that from time to time, there's this quasi-political discussion, argument, over the place of God's law in our lives. Most recently, it showed up in light of what's in the courthouse in I forget which county in the state of Alabama, where they have the Ten Commandments on the wall. And that is regarded as sacred in that state and many other places, and this discussion comes up quite a bit, because the argument is that the Ten Commandments are the basis for all law and should be in the courthouse. What I find interesting about that is if you look at the Ten Commandments one by one, there are only three of them that are illegal. Isn't that interesting? Stealing, killing, and the third one, much less obvious, perjury, bearing false witness. All the rest of them are not crimes, and yet the argument is it's the basis for criminal code and decent conduct. Well, for lack of a better way to frame a Lenten meditation, let's take a quiz. I have, among other things, the Ten Commandments in a much larger theological piece, the explanation of the Ten Commandments by Martin Luther, written in what's called the Small Catechism, which is, in effect, a church textbook for children. Not a half-bad place to start for us. Taking stock, reflecting, self-discipline, amendment of life. How are we doing on the 10-point quiz? Now, I'm going to warn you in advance that you're not going to do as well as you think. 70% is the gold standard. We'll see if we get that high. Because the Ten Commandments not only tell us what thou shalt not, but the interpretation through the history and tradition of theology in the church is what you should also do. It's not just what you don't do, but what you should do instead. So settle in. This is, by the way, from Deuteronomy chapter 5, more or less. "I am the Lord thy God. You shall have no other gods before me." What does this mean, Uncle Marty? The answer is we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Period. Now, a couple of points here. The word fear, as it's translated from the German, also implies respect. So it's not only being terrified, it's being respectful of the authority of the Lord High God. And above all things, there's an interesting place in the New Testament where Jesus is called and says, "Hey, your mother and your brothers are here. Why are you not interacting?" And Jesus says, "Well, who are my mother and my brothers?" Everyone is mother and brother. For fear, love, and trust God above all things, including family, including finance, including commerce and industry. Going to check that one off or not? Think about it. All things. Number two, shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. This means we should fear and love God, so that we should not use his name to curse, swear, practice magic, lie, or deceive. Well, not always, but more or less, so far, so good. But in every time of need, call upon him, pray to him, praise him, and give him thanks. In other words, it's not the court of last resort. Well, let's see if we can pray about this. It's the first of all things to honor the second commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We should fear and love God so that we should not despise his word and the preaching of it, I might add. I love that part. But regard it as holy and gladly hear and learn it. It's not just Sunday. It's every day an opportunity to hear and experience God's word. We're a third of the way done. How many of you got right? Honor your father and your mother. We should fear and love God so that we should not despise our parents or superiors or provoke them to anger, but honor, serve, obey, love, and esteem them, parents or superiors. I think of how George Carlin opened his act one time. He said, "My name is George Carlin, and I'm a professional comedian, unlike those clowns you work with day by day." I work at Texas Tech University. We should esteem them, honor them, obey and love them. This is getting depressing. We're not even half done. Okay, wait, you shall not kill. Cool, fair enough. We should fear and love God, so we should not endanger our neighbor's life nor cause them any harm, but also help, befriend, and care for them in every necessity of life. Más o menos. Until you listen to Jesus rephrase this commandment in the Sermon on the Mount, and he said, "You've heard it was said of old, you shall not kill. But I say unto you, everyone who says, 'You fool,' unto his brother or sister shall be liable to the hell of fire." I wouldn't try driving on the loop in Lubbock for more than about a mile and a half and hold on, "You fool." Here we go. The sixth, you shall not commit adultery. Or, translated by the Clintons, you shall not admit adultery. We should fear and love God so that we should lead a chaste and pure life in word and deed, each one loving and honoring his or her spouse. And then Jesus takes it one step further in that same little place in the Sermon on the Mount. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say unto you, everyone who looks lustfully at another shall be liable to the hell of fire." I have for decades subscribed to Sports Illustrated magazine. And right around the first of the year, there's a little editorial piece in the front of Sports Illustrated that warns us the swimsuit issue is coming up. And if you'd like, you can opt out of it and we'll send you an extra issue. You can opt out of the swimsuit issue if you'd like. I never do. You shall not steal. We should fear and love God so that we should not rob our neighbor of his or her money, property, nor bring them into our possession by dishonest trade, but in every way help them to improve and protect their income and property. I don't know, in every way. In every way. Shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. We should fear and love God so we should not tell lies, betray, slander, or defame, but apologize for them, speak well of them, and interpret charitably all that they do. Your neighbor. Jesus had a discussion with his disciples to this effect, and someone came up and said, "What do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Obey the law." And he said, "I do that. Love your neighbor." "Well, who's my neighbor?" And then he goes with the Good Samaritan piece. Your neighbor is, they're even people that disagree with you. Interpret charitably all that they do. The ninth and tenth refer to coveting. Coveting house, possessions, family, and so on. I would suggest to you, for the sake of brevity, that the U.S. economy rests on coveting. Every single piece of commercial advertising is an effort to entice you to covet something somebody has for sale or a service they can provide. The economy collapses without coveting. Anybody get 70%? Probably not. The point of this is not to remind us how sinful we are. It's to put into perspective what God has done through Christ. Jesus runs this number a couple of different times in the New Testament where people claim that they can obey the law and inherit eternal life. And Jesus says to one wealthy man in particular, who says, I've kept all the commandments since my youth. Jesus said, that's fine. Now sell all you have and give to the poor. Oh, off he goes sorrowful because he can't do that. You can't do it. Lest you think you can, let me remind you of Jesus' also interpretation of the law. Whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments shall be called least. One commandment, one time. That's it. For as St. Paul said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Well, that's kind of the story of Lent. I mean, everybody comes to and through Lent and to the foot of the cross going, I have no shot at this at all. To which Jesus says, now is the time for the ruler of this world to be defeated, and I will be lifted up. And oddly for John's gospel, that's full of myth and metaphor and double meanings, it was a great pains to be very clear about what Jesus is saying about being lifted up. And that's the title of this sermon, lifted up. Lifted up on the cross. By this he meant to show by what death he would die, that on the cross he allowed himself to absorb the punishment for all sin and all time. So any self-reflection takes us to the foot of the cross, where we can only leave with gratitude. Interestingly enough, this brings to fruition what Jesus also said a couple of times throughout the course of his ministry. I have come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And here is the law in two simple sentences. Love God, love neighbor. There's an upward dimension to human ethical behavior. Love God. There's an outward dimension to human ethical behavior. Love one another. Does that begin to look a little bit like a cross to you? As Jesus is lifted up and stretches out his arms, he gives us not only a metaphor but an opportunity to absorb the meaning of the law and translate it into a day-by-day process. Not without fail, but always open to reconciliation and forgiveness. It's really no more complicated than this. The only way to show love for God is to show charity, compassion, forgiveness, and tolerance of others to whatever extent is possible, and then to acknowledge that it's not fully possible, but God forgives that too. As Jesus is lifted up on the cross, he also lifts up for us an opportunity to reach with similarly open arms in ways that we might not have thought of, but for the gratitude that is inevitable when we know what he did. Love God, love one another. Look up, reach out. Lift up an opportunity this day to live in the spirit of the one who said, I went that far because you're worth it. Now, take one extra step, forgiving, tolerating, helping, edifying, loving. And when you goof that up, come on back. He will refill your bucket with forgiveness and grace. And tomorrow's a new day. Amen.